Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Poetry with Flavor. This is your host, Miss Lucy. I have to kind of start off with an apology. I'm not feeling 100%. I think it's just comes with the territory of aging. And today I have been lightheaded and a bit nauseous. So my energy level just isn't there this evening. So bear with me. I had two comments I wanted to make before I read any poetry. One, I'm just so heartsick over this young boy. He's 6 years old in the first grade, and he shot his teacher. And how does that happen? Elementary school, first grade, with a gun. And the teacher is going to be okay. Of course, she's in the hospital. And the last I heard on the news that they are talking with the little boy's mother. But it's just sad, sad, sad all the way around. I really just can't wrap my mind around that. And, okay, what's the other thing that got on my nerves? New Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy. 4 days and 15 votes. I don't understand their math at all. I just don't understand their math. And why did they take it to 15 votes? I mean, I could give some explanations, but I'm not trying to argue with anybody about it, but it's so much needs to change with this country. So much needs to change in the government. But during that process of those 4 days of wearing people down to get that position, it's just sickening to me. And some people change their mind. And what really plucks my nerves is that the Republican Party has a lot of problems, and a lot of problems. But one of the votes that helped McCarthy get that seat was I forgot the man's name, Representative. I think it's Byron Donalds of Florida, an African American. And that took me right back to when the vote came for Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, when Senator Tim Scott, African American, voted against her. Okay, I'm going to let that go. But I think I'm supposed to share some poetry about men this evening. And if there's anybody out there listening, you can cut in at any time, question or make a comment. Okay. I really am struggling, folks, and we're going to try to make it through this hour. Poem, Sunday's Rump Roast. I know I've read it once before. But, and the poems tonight are supposed to be about men. This is about Willie Smith. Willie Smith, African-American, he lived in Paris. He was one of the most successful African-American fashion designers. And he had his own line of clothing back in 1976 called Willie's Wear. And what was so special about his clothing for women was that he fashioned his clothes to fit the body of a black woman, not the stick thin models that were in every magazine, but for a fuller body. And for his model, he used his sister. Her name was Tookie Smith. She was a model, an actress, and for a long time girlfriend of Robert De Niro, the actor. But Tookie became her brother's muse. Willie died at the age of 39, very young. Sunday's Rump Roast. Ample, round, substantial, cushioned, fat fanny, wide ride. Willie Smith understood African hips, designing skirts and pants flattered and fit. Thunder buns, wide track, black booty, fat back, yeah. Willie appreciated African hips. He savored them like Sunday's rump roast. Okay. This happens to be another Willie, Mr. Willie Harry. I can never remember. He passed away. Willie Harry was a character. He's well known in Baltimore for his barbershop called Harry's Afro Hut. And in his barbershop, I would say half, if not more, of the barbers in Baltimore trained there under Willie Harry. And the barbershop became iconic. And as we know, black barbershops have become sanctuaries, or have always been sanctuaries for black men to gather in safety, meaning safety of thought, to speak their mind and share what was going on. And so I wrote this about Harry's Afro Hut. Harry's Afro Hut in Baltimore, where the brothers can be brothers. No shooting and button heads. Brothers be talking, sharing, and bonding instead. Shoring up their manhood against the bullshit outside the door that for lesser men would kill the life spirit inside. From miles around and across the state, they came in droves to escape from the daily emasculation of Whitey's hate. At Harry's, the facade comes off like the brothers' draws on a red-hot date. The transition is as smooth as the geometrical lines and fades they be getting. Mayors, doctors, Poe and average brothers, uneducated and intellectual, be sitting side by side, conversing, righting the wrongs of a world that would consume them. And all the while, the brothers be role modeling for the little bros that's waiting to have their due style sleep proud and cool. as they watch and listen to the incomparable logic and strength of the black man, not seen or heard on television because of society's fear of revealing truth that would weaken the man's unholy grasp on the world, with all we told. So I pray that Harry's Afro hook, like the pyramids, stands forever, with the barbers shadowing tall as sparrows, images of intellect, strength, and beauty that cannot be wrenched from the minds of generations to come. That's Harry's Afro hook, where brothers come out fades tall and chests high, and the revolution continues. Okay. This poem, I guess you'd be able to tell, is dated because circumstances have changed, and you see more of us on TV now, but there was a time, my time, where you hardly ever saw us. But this is called Never on Prime Time. My man won't be seen on television, showing his prowess as a lover, caressing breasts and licking necks and rendering a woman weak. No, my man won't be seen on television in all his glorious manliness, because the good old boys, the women, won't want them anymore. Arise, acclaim. Black man, jobless, wifeless, childless, feels hopeless. What a mess. Grab hold, black brother, to your mate. Gather your children and begin to elevate your mind and theirs. Then it's only a matter of time before your descent becomes a rise, a climb. This is called Get the Message, and it's self-explanatory. Goldilocks got the three bears hunted. Little Red Riding Hood had the wolf hanged. Save Ray caused the death of King Kong. And Emmett Till, so young in his grave. Do you get the message? Someone might think the Jews embrace Jews from whatever land and call them all kin. White folks have open arms for the Polish and Soviets and others with white skin. We are the only folks who reject our own, go out of our way to make the connection thin, lest someone think we're African. I pledge allegiance to my people. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the African American people and to one African nation under the Creator, united and strong, uplifting the children with uncovered truth, assuring our rightful place on this earth. I pledge allegiance to my people to give my brothers and sisters love, respect, and support, to always extend a helping hand, to network, promote, elevate, and give hope, to live and work from the perspective of we and not I, to assure that my dollar from African America advised to continue the tradition of extended family, community, and unity. I pledge allegiance to my people, to the benefit of all, and the betterment of the world. Okay, let's see. Road to Freedom. Negro minds into black minds, into black consciousness, into African minds, into power. Let's take a switch it up just a little. This is an excerpt from a longer poem called All About Eve, but I'm just going to focus a little bit, read a little bit about, let me see. Lucifer. Okay. Okay. This is just an excerpt from the poem. Okay. From the poem All About Eve. Okay. Let's backtrack for a moment to understand why Eve would do a 180-degree turnabout and decide to be disobedient to God and forfeit the luxurious and leisurely lifestyle she shared with Adam. While Eve lollygagged around Eden and Adam puffed up his chest while swinging in his hammock between the tree of knowledge and the tree of life, spying eyes were upon them. Just a stone's throw from Eve was Eden's newest visitor. Lucifer was his name, and there was no shame in his game. He was decked out in men's warehouse Italian cut suit, accessorized with gold, diamonds, jade, emeralds, and topaz. He was blinged out, wearing more jewelry than 100 rappers combined. And good Googa Mooga, let me tell you, he was fine, fine, fine. He was beautiful in face and body, a show enough pretty boy. And he was singing a crazy little song. Anything you can do, I can do better. And danged if he didn't sound like Barry White and Luther Vandross all rolled into one. This was too good to be true. Something had to be amiss. I heard through the grapevine that Lucifer was a fallen angel. And not just any angel. He was the most exalted of all God's creatures. He was blessed with gifts of wisdom, power, perfect beauty. Until he got the big head, started thinking he was better than God. Got so full of himself, he boldly proclaimed, I will exalt myself above the throne of God. I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, he said. Not once, but 5 times, and started singing, anything you can do, I can do better. Well, I guess you know how that ended. The Lord shot him to the earth like a bolt of lightning with a one-way ticket and gold star reservation for first seating in the lake of fire. Lucifer enters the Garden of Eden with an evil plan to exact revenge for being kicked out of heaven, a plan to wreak havoc on all the beauty the Lord created, filled his mind as he spied on Adam and Eve. The moment Lucifer chose to tempt and deceive Eve, his name changed from Lucifer to Satan, from shining star, enemy, from angel to demon to devil. Okay. That was an excerpt from All About Eve. Anybody out there this evening?
Yes, this is Odessa. I'm here.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you, thank you, thank you for so much. I appreciate your support.
Oh, okay, I'm enjoying this so much. Thank you.
Oh, bless you. Let's see. Okay. This is called Quitting Time. And let me see. Wait a minute. My eyes are crossing. Let me grab these glasses. The whistle's blowing. No more overtime. Gotta get me some peace of mind. Gonna leave your mess for another brother who ain't gonna stray. The hour has arrived, and not a minute too late. Got no more time for your slick jive. Ain't washing your clothes and holding your dinner, keeping it warm, watching the clock, worrying and getting thinner, listening for your key in the lock, even though I moved the table and got the door blocked, waiting by the silent phone. Why doesn't it ring? Making my home cold, my heart sting. Just ain't gonna do it no more. Just can't do it no more. It's quitting time. The whistle's blown. It's quitting time.
That was really good. Really good.
You know how we used to do it? Block the door. Or put something in front of the door so the stuff stumble over the door.
Very good.
Okay, let's see. Let's see. Going through pages. Okay. This poem, Mr. Melvin Slick Johnson. And actually, I was trying to remember, how did I write this thing and what was on my mind? And it was somebody, I think, that was a family friend. I'm not sure. But it seemed on surface anyway, everybody had their wife and their families, you know. And mom and them used to have dinner parties, and everybody came coupled up, you know. But see, some reason, I don't know where I got this. But anyway, there's always that one person who doesn't conform, so to speak, getting older and doesn't admit to the fact they're getting older, you know. Well, anyway, let me just read this. Mr. Melvin Slick Johnson. He was a bad motor scooter. Everybody knew his name. Designer suits and silk shirts were the trademark of his game. He was a bad dab daddy. Kept his do sleek and fine. Like black patent leather, his locks were greased and spit shined. He was a bad mama jamma. Four gold caps on his smile. Never mind, he never visited or spent a dime on his child. He was a bad lover man. Sweet talked a whole lot of skirts. A love him and leave him sugar daddy. who left a long trail of hurt. He was a lonely old fool who eventually reaped what he sowed. He thought he'd always be cool. He thought he'd never grow old. Okay. Okay. And, now, I just had that. Give me a second. Okay. Well, we'll do this one. Enough said. It stems from the home, Mama says. Yeah, the White House, I say. Wedding dress must be virginal white and bridal cakes with white icing. Formal invitations on embossed white paper. Business stationery more authoritative on white. Diplomas printed on white, tied with a gold ribbon. White hospital walls and gowns more sanitary. Bleach the wheat to make white bread. Bleach the grain to make white rice. Devil's food cake is chocolate. And angel's food cake is white. Sell your women in ads that lie and entice. Playboy whores who are called ladies. And gentlemen prefer blondes who wear white shoulders perfume. Blondes do have more fun when they've shampooed with white rain. And pale white hands wearing white diamonds at the expense of bent black backs. The Star of Africa fitted into a crown worn on the head of a pale-faced queen. White knights to the rescue as black children ask white Santa for their dreams. White angels on the Christmas tree, their hair falling in streams, protected by militarily dressed white soldiers parading as nutcrackers, whose job it is to crush black and brown nuts, especially those ones called niggatos. European education for all to learn how to be white or create desire to be white. Blue-eyed Jesus and white Christian religion used to pacify and enslave. Communion given in church, covered in white drapes, to receive a white wafer to cleanse your filthy black soul. Elegant dining is when waiters wear white gloves and serve food on white doilies. White Easter Bunny brings white chocolate candy. White-collar jobs are symbols of success. And in the game of pool, the objective is to knock the black eight ball into the pocket. And your dictionary definition of white says it is pure, innocent, spotless. So I guess little white lies are harmless, like black Mickey Mouse has a Pinocchio. And the bad guys wear black hats. And white witches are good ones. And black witches are evil. And the white smoke from your cigarettes won't ruin my lungs. And it's okay to say New World Order when it looks the same to me. White faces in charge of a world full of faces of color. And black is only good for funerals. Enough said. Oh, I'm going to take a minute to say, is anybody out there that is in an organization or knows of an organization that is preparing for the month of February, Black History Month, and if they're looking for someone to fill a venue for them, please let them know. I'm available. I would love to go out and read some poetry. So if you know of anyone, pass it on, please.
Okay.
Okay. Let's see. Of course, I'm flipping pages. Oh, this little short poem, I'm going to dedicate this to that Representative Byron Donalds, Senator Tim Scott, and Supreme Court Justice. He makes me so mad, I can't think of his name.
Thomas?
What's the, yeah. I just saw his face and I couldn't say his name. It's very short. It's just called Second Nature. We've got bowing and scraping and compromising down to such a fine science. We think we're supposed to act like that. Almost natural. That was for them. Can somebody tell me the time? Anybody?
I have 7:32.
Okay. I'm going to do this one. I happen to be, the other day I was curious as to how old Louis Farrakhan was. He's 89 years old. He looks like he's 50 or 60. He's 89 years old. I said, oh, my God. Anyway, as we know, he had a lot to do with the Million Man March. And this poem I originally titled it for Sterling Brown, who was professor, poet, author, writer, all about black people, who told me to observe, participate, and record. And I'll never forget that. But I've changed the title of the poem to Midnight in the Daylight. But I wrote it for Sterling Brown. They came, Sterling, not by ones, not by twos, not by tens, but by the hundreds. By the hundreds, strong, united, committed, saying we are, we can, we will reclaim our wives, our sons and daughters, our families, our neighbors, our friends, from the east, from the south, north and west, from the motherland of Africa and Canada, Caribbean, West Indies, and all the rest, by foot, by car, by bus, by train, by plane, like a caravan in the desert, spying the oasis ahead, which will quench the thirst, give hope and strength to master and change their destiny. They came, Sterling, not by ones, not by twos, not by tens, but by the thousands, Christians, Muslims, non-believers, alike, dreads, soft-sheen curls, fades, goatees, mustaches, and beards, kofis, skies, caps, and other covered heads, old men, young men, tots, teens, young adults, and midlifers, and seniors, strutting their stuff. They were blue collars and white collars and no collars at all and walking tall. They were suited, booted, leather loafers and tennis shoes with kente cloth accents, competing with the rays of the sun as their presence shouted, "The lynching stopped today. Today, stop today." They came, Sterling, not by ones, not by twos, not by tens, but by the millions, by the millions. The drums were sounded, and their pulsating call was answered. The men stood tall as redwood trees. What a sight for my black soul. Like the moon eclipsing the sun, it was midnight in the daylight, a black and beautiful sight. They came, Sterling. They came. They came amid threats of losing a day's pay, of reprimands on the job, of demotions and complete separation from employment, of being labeled militant, and even loss of life. They came anyway. Big, black, and bad. They came. They conquered the fear and dispelled the myth of their powerlessness, seizing their rightful place on this earth. They came, Sterling, by the hundreds, by the thousands, by the millions, by the millions, by the millions.
Okay. That is so beautiful.
I can just see that, you know, I can just see that. That was a beautiful day. And you know, I went on a, I'm trying to remember the date. There was a, I participated in a silent march on Washington. And I ran into, oh my goodness, I hate my mind. What's that movie that, oh my goodness, The Black Detective.
Black Detective. Oh, Chef? They called me.
Yeah, Chef. I ran into Chef, and I got a hug, but I was taller than him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's short, but
oh my!
I don't know why that came in my mind. Yeah, Chef, Lord and Lucia Kempman. Okay. That was a bad album, too. Who did the album? I forgot. Oh, my goodness. I can't remember anything. Yep, Silent March on Washington.
Quit speaking, you can't remember anything. Because that's what you just
yeah,
told
yeah,
yourself.
You're
you
right.
Can't remember
you're,
anything.
Right, you're right. You're so right.
Thank you.
Okay.
That would be $10.
Okay. Okay. Okay, let me see.
That was Isaac Hayes.
Isaac Hayes. Okay. Lord
Hayes. That's right.
Hayes.
Yep. He won the song.
Yep.
That was a bad album. Yep.
It sure was, okay. And I still have it.
Oh, you did? All right, now. Okay, let's see. Words don't hurt. I think I've done this. Well, I've done all these things over there. It's called Words Don't Hurt. Baby, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt you. You just remember that. Ape, Blackie, Black Eye, Blackard, Blackjack, Blackness, Black Magic, Black Mail, Black Sheep, Black Boot, Blue Gum, Buckwheat, Burrhead, Bushhead, Boogeyman, Clown, Coon, Criminal, Darky, Jungle Bunny, Ink Spot, Lazy, Liver Lips, Monkey, Mud Pie, Pickaninny, Shiftless, Stupid, Shoe Polish, Spear Chucker, Spook, Spade, Soot, been called every name in the book, Tar Baby, Toad, tobacco spit, black bitch, watermelon head, go to welfare king and queen. Why folks got to be so mean? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Nigga, 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 nigga. Mama, why'd daddy go upside Mr. Smith's head? Did you like that, Willie?
That was good.
Yeah, you know, we've been called a lot of names.
That's true. And they still haven't been able to beat us down. We still...
That's right.
What's that?
That's so true.
That, sure, I rise. What's that song? There's something like that. That somebody said...
Yeah,
Angelou. Maybe that's who it was. Maya Angelou.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm flipping through pages. Go ahead. I'm flipping through.
If you didn't flip through pages, we'd think something wrong with you. Nah, how about that?
Yeah, I know. Okay. Oh, Lord. I'm just going to, this is like a five-page poem, and I think I read excerpts from it before, and I'm going to read a different excerpt from it. I haven't read the whole poem because it's a poem that it hurts. It hurts to write it. It hurts to read it because it's still going on. And I started this poem back in the, I would say mid-80s. And this is called A Roll Call for Revolution. And it's about the murders that were taking place almost weekly, murders of black men by the police. And every time I started to write about it, somebody else got killed and somebody else, until we're all the way here in, what, 2023, you know, it's just a matter of time. But I'll just do an excerpt from this. Let me see. One second. Okay. Here we go. I'll read from there. This is just part of it. I don't have page numbers on here. That's why I'm so... Okay, I'll do this. This is just part of this poem. As black male babies continue to be viewed as a problem, as a threat 1 second after birth, this is a roll call for revolution. We need a revolution now. Little black girls taught to hate themselves, hate their woolly crowns made nappy by nature. As mama pins and glues and sews plastic purple and orange curls to her roots so no one will know. Cuban brothers and sisters, separate when they reach the shores of the good old U.S. of A. Those with light skin and straight hair move with ease into the group in charge. Those unfortunate with dark skin and hair that is curly or kinky get to rest on the latter rung, one step above blacks, and dark and thuggy Richard of Black America gets an S-curve and changes his name to Ricardo. This is a roll call for a revolution. That's just an excerpt. Did you get my reference about how people from other countries, when they come here, the whiter they are, they learn that right away. That's the first thing they learn, how to be white. That'll get me over, you know, so forth. Okay.
Yeah.
Did you get my reference about the S curl?
Yes.
The S, okay, the S curl, Willie, is a hair thing. It's like a relaxer or something for men that in their hair and make their hair wavy and curly. And so that's when I said Richard, Black Richard decided to change his name to Ricardo, and he got an S curl so his hair would be curly. And people would think he was from somewhere else. Okay. Okay, this is called patriotism. You know, we're always accused of, and it's just the opposite. We have always been on the front lines. We never given credit. Patriotism. First only in battle. Say we should feel honored. Question our patriotism. Must prove by being cannon fodder. More than an equal opportunity to die. Never an equal opportunity to live. But yet, we pledge allegiance. Anybody want to comment?
Well, that one I would like to you to come on my new radio program in February. The question is, how did America get this way? No. But that poem is the 4th of July platform. The 4th of July. Because that's in July, whenever that poem will fit in that one.
Okay. This is called Function at the Junction. In vogue, Negroes wearing Korean-made kente, going to a black function to practice handshakes foreign to their loyalties and alien to their souls. Is somebody talking? I can't hear.
No, not here. I was just thinking about that cloth being made in Korea, Thailand, or somewhere. I have seen that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I dedicate this poem to those men I was talking about earlier, Scott, Donalds, and Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, let me see. I don't think I've ever read this one. This is called Nigger Price. Well, I wrote this in 1985. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. One price is his. The other is mine. For the same thing, no less. Do you understand? What's your guess? One price is his. The other is mine. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. Now, ain't that dirty? You know what irritates me when I go to the store? When these young people don't put your things in a bag, or you have to ask for a bag, and I want to say so bad you don't. If you knew your history, you remember how we'd go to the store and you couldn't get a bag?
Yes, yes.
You know, put your money down on the counter and all that kind of stupid crap. And so when these young, they do, but they don't know any better. They just don't have any manner. But it still gets to me when they do that. Anyway, okay.
You just have to make them put it in there.
Oh, I do. I do. But I'm talking about, I remember when I was younger, those kinds of things that were done to us, you know.
Oh, yes.
Okay, let me see, what is this one? Okay, I'm going to do this. Sorry. Okay, this is called When the Chalk Dust Settles, and it's really self-explanatory, but it just makes me mad because it hasn't really changed. And when I think about our school system, we are so far off the mark of what to teach these children, and I mean all the children, what to teach them to survive and be able to participate in the world that they have today. They're so far off the mark. But anyway, when the chalk dust settles, stamp them in, stamp them out. Seat work until they cry out. Some teachers come early to jumpstart the day, not with lessons, but with Wesson oil and eggs. You know, they're in the teacher's lounge. That's what I'm talking about. Stamp them in. Stamp them out. In your seat. In your seat. No moving about. Some teachers stay late, but not with papers to grade, but for gossip, cheese eating, and secret dates they've made. No time to educate children's minds. Got five more classes before the end of the day. Stamp them in. Stamp them out. Train the child. Train the child to obey. Education is the key to the future, 'tis true. But we better rethink where to get it and from whom. That's it. Well, you all, my throat is getting ready to close up on me like it always seems to do. It gets very dry. Okay. Let's see. This will be my. Are we almost at 8 o'clock? This will be my last one. It's not too long.
7:04.
Okay. This is called Gullible. We believed Massa when he said he wouldn't whip us or sell our children or take our loved ones to rape. We believed Mister when he said he'd pay a day's wages for a day's work done. We still believed him when he paid us and said we counted wrong. We believed the man when he said, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, even though most of us didn't have any boots. What, one more?
Yeah, maybe you better stop now. You're damaging your throat.
It does it. I think it's just it's talking. Talk just straight talking for an hour, I think.
Yeah.
It dries out or something. It's probably going to close up. This is called affirmative action. Then I'll stop. Affirmative action. This isn't a poem. This is a scream. A 10-second warning. No more running for cover. This is a call to arms. Black arms. United. United by our yoke. United by our blood. This is a scream. A wake-up call. We can't afford no more dreams. Okay. Well, I think I'm going to call it a night. My goodness. those who came to listen, I appreciate you. And I'm trying to put it out there that I'm available for readings for Black History Month, any month, really. But in particular, Black History Month, people are looking for people to fill their venue. And
okay.
I don't charge anything, but if it's for a dinner, I want a plate of food. And anyway, okay, I appreciate you all. I really do. And what is our next date? Today's the 9th. Well, we'll see you. What, anybody got a calendar? I don't even have a calendar in front of me. No calendar, no clock.
The 23rd.
The 23rd, okay. 23rd January, okay. We'll see you on the 23rd. We'll see you on the 23rd of January. And again, if you could spread the word, I'm trying to get booked for some poetry readings. Okay.
All right.
Okay,
all righty. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You
good
too.
Night.
Bye.